I said some do. A lot of people come to church on Sunday and they pick Jesus up on the way. And then they leave him when they leave. Jesus don't go with them to their house. Jesus don't go with them down the road. Jesus don't go with them to work. Jesus is just meant to be, I guess, in a box. So I said, I don't go anywhere without Jesus. Is your heart stirred this morning? I was not planned. But you didn't know that, did you? Just stay calm, be collect, no matter what you may go through. This morning, I want to talk to you about a hero. You like heroes? I love heroes. Everybody loves a hero. I was reminded here just here late that heroes never would die in a movie. You ever notice that? You always knew that Chuck Norris was going to win in Walker, Texas Ranger, right? That dude never got hit, you know? I said, that's not possible, you know? I said, I know he's really a martial artist, you know, or whatever he is, but I know he's a genuine fighter, a good fighter, not just on TV, like Miyagi-Do was in Karate Kid. Oh, because he didn't know nothing about karate. You know that? That ruined it for me. When I found out he was doing that wax on, wax off just to be a part of a movie, it just kind of stole my thunder a little bit. He don't know nothing about Miyagi-Do, you know? And that kind of ruined it for me. But I like a good, genuine hero. There's a lot of unsung heroes in this church. Nobody ever mentions your name. Nobody ever mentions what you do. If it is, it's always classified in a general way. There's a lot of heroes in this church. A lot of unsung heroes who deserve a lot of credit for what the Lord has been able to do. And I salute you this morning. Getting off to a slow start this morning because I just want everybody to get settled for a minute. I want you to just adore the Lord and love Him because He's the hero I'm going to be talking about this morning. He's the hero of many different things. But I want to talk to you about just three of those this morning. If you have your Bibles, you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll be looking at verses 17 through 20. Now, I want you to get your pen out. I want you to underline a few things, and I want you to make a couple of notes. And I want you to title this morning, as you see in your bulletin, this is Heaven's Hero. Heaven's Hero. We do have a hero of faith. The Bible tells us very clearly in this book that there are many different heroes. There are heroes in the book of Hebrews that there's some you would wonder how they got there. How they get there. But the Lord proves to be always faithful in all that He does for us. And I want to share with you this morning something very dear to my heart. I was over at Evergreen Baptist this morning, preaching this morning over there at 8 o'clock this morning. And there was a good turnout over there. I want to brag on them just for a minute. There were some 20-something men over there this morning for that turnout. They had grits and eggs, sausage, and those biscuits to come out the freezer section. It's going to ruin this country. You wait and see what I'm telling you. But not in Effingham, because we're going to have a biscuit cooking class. Amen? Amen. And also, we're going to teach boys how to change a spare tire. All right? Amen. Yes, we are. So, we're going to have one of those as well. But this morning, I went over there and we preached the Word of God. And we had a good time in the Lord. I said, wow. I said, how in the world you get your people to come out here at 8 o'clock in the morning? All ready to go like this here. I'm talking about with grits and eggs and sausages. And boy, we just had a good time over there this morning. And I wanted to to brag on those guys this morning. They did a wonderful job in welcoming me. And no, I didn't preach to them what I'm fitting to preach to you, if you're wondering. You're getting this fresh off the press. This morning, Heaven's Hero. I want you to look at Hebrews 6. Everyone's had time to get there. But before you do, I want to read these couple verses to you out of John 6. For I came down from heaven, this is Jesus talking, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all, He is very clearly telling you the will. He says that all which have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. Sounds like a hero to me. A hero. He's a hero of hope in Hebrews 6. Will you look with me now? Hebrews 6 and 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel. Immutability of His counsel. Confirmed, underline confirmed, it by an oath, that the two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, underlying consolation, making a note that both of them begin with the letter C, who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure, underlying sure, and steadfast, underlying steadfast, making note that both of them begin with the letter S. And which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us, entered, even Jesus, made a high priest, even after the order of Melchizedek. All right? A high priest, Jesus is mentioned here. But I want you to make note that our very first aspect of His heroism is hope. He is the hero of hope. We find this hope here. And I want to point out to you in verse 17 where it says immutability. And it also mentions at the beginning of verse 18 in your Bibles that the two immutable things, immutable means without change. You've heard of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? They're mutants because they can change. God is immutable. He cannot change. And He will not change for anyone or anything. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is an immutable God, which means without change. Look at the hope here. Why is He a hero of hope? Jesus Christ is a hero of hope because He brings us that hope. Jesus is immutable. He is a God who has given Himself for us. He is one who still makes intercession for us. We are His number one priority. His number one love. But when Jesus came, He came to bring us hope. Give you an example. When a farmer plows and plants a field, he expects whatever it is that he's making preparation for, not only to plow the field, to turn the soil, to make preparations for the new crop, but when a farmer walks out and he plows, he goes on to plant. The reason he plants is because he has the hope that a seed will produce and he will have the produce of that seed. He has the hope that it will take place. Consider this. A mariner, when he travels the unknown seas, what does he base his job upon? One needle pointing in one direction. And he has the hope as a navigator, as one who is being led unto unknown seas, uncharted territory, uncharted water, that one needle, he has the hope, the belief, that one needle pointing at him in that one direction says, I'll go. And may I submit to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the hope of Jesus Christ is not being fulfilled by Christians in the way it was intended to be. Because I will tell you, my dear friend, when Jesus said, I came and I died on a cross, I rose on the third day, I sit at the right hand of the Father, He gave us hope that we could have life and life more abundantly. And He said, not only do I go, but I go to prepare a place for you. I will make the proper preparations in order to receive you unto myself, that you for eternity may dwell with me. And where is the hope of that? Have we lost hope? We cannot lose that hope. When the farmer goes to the field, he puts the seed that he has invested in into the ground, believing it will rise. When the mariner is across the sea and he looks around him and there is absolutely nothing but him and the ship, he puts his hope on one needle pointed in one direction. The reason that the hope is dim in many is because we do not base our lives and our living based upon that one Savior pointing us in that one direction. We are torn people. People who are tossed to and fro. Bouncing around. You ever met someone who was wishy-washy? Could never be decisive. You don't have to be a leader, a bold leader, to make a decision. You make decisions every day of your life when you pull to the red light, whether you stop or go. Whether you will stop and eat here or just keep on driving. What time you will get up. What will you wear? What will you do when you get home today? We make decisions upon decisions every day of our life based upon the hope that it'll be there when we get there. And the Christianity can be no different. But you know how you begin to have the real fulfillment of hope? Is when you look unto the hero of that very hope and say, He is immutable and He will not change on me. He told me He would never leave me nor forsake me. He said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He said, I'll stick closer to you than a brother. I'll be the healer when the doctor walks away. I'll be your Savior on judgment day. I am the great I am. And I came not because I was forced to, but because I wanted to show you the glory of my Father and to do His will. That is why I came. Did He come expecting us to lose hope? No. But in order that we would receive that hope that gives us life and life more. Secondly, He is a hero of hearts. I'll ask you a question this morning without any acknowledgement. No one speak. No one say amen. Now, once I get done with this part, you feel free to do that, okay? Sometimes I got to know you out there. You know? If you put a polar bear in the pulpit, you'll have icicles in the pews. I might be big as a polar bear, but I hope I'm not come off as chilling as one. Amen? All right, now hold your amens for a minute, and I'll turn you loose. Who's the hero of your heart? Who's the hero of your heart? You know, I like Superman. Superman, growing up, was certainly had a place in my heart. I can remember on one camp out one night, I was a teenager, and we had pulled plastic, polyethylene, from tree to tree and tied a piece of grass rope. And we put down some plastic in order to make us a really good tent because they had to accommodate several who sat there beneath. On a cold, chilling day right down here at Elmore Lake on Lynch's River, went down there, got under there with my camouflage zip-up sleeping bag. It takes a lot to find one that will go past my head. I don't like hanging my arms and head out of a sleeping bag on a cold night. Amen? Some of you are saying, what are you doing there anyhow? Amen? But I like it. Well, I got there, and then I saw my cousin who was sitting right beside me. He was older than myself. He was in his early 20s. He's a grown man. And his mother had handed down some of his things as he was out of the house. And one of those things went to my brother. I think it may have been Johnny. And Johnny was in that sleeping bag. My cousin looked over there and said, a 20-year-old man, man. He said, hey, that's my Superman sleeping bag. Oops. Did that come out loud? But I'll tell you what comes out of your mouth in your heart. Amen? Guess who was the hero of his heart at that very precise moment in time? Superman. And it come out of his lips. And then he had to cover it up the rest of the night. Because you know us boys, we'll sure let you know. But it was in his heart. And I could go on. There's Spider-Man and Superman and Batman. And even I think Rocky Balboa is a pretty good hero, you know. I'd love to be going around all the time, yo, Adrian, everything I did, you know. I eat pizza so much I was hoping I would become part Italian growing up, you know, just to be able to say that with some affection. But I will tell you this. Who's the hero of your heart, church? This is very important. It is one of the biggest importance you'll ever make in your life, the biggest decisions you'll ever make. Who's the hero of your heart? Jesus Christ. Who's going to look into your heart one day and tell whether or not that is the absolute truth? His Father. Who's pleading your case right now in heaven? Jesus. He sits at the right hand of his Father. And he says, that one's with me. She's with me. He's with me. Father, I'd like to be able to tell you differently, but that one has never accepted me. For various reasons, but it won't really matter one day. You can't share that heroism. You know, when I was growing up, I was fond of different heroes, but I had one hero in my heart. Even if you want to get personal for a minute, the biggest hero in my life was my daddy. Love my daddy. The greatest hero of my life was my daddy. You know that commercial where everybody wants to be like Mike, like Michael Jordan? I wanted to be like Mac, my daddy's name. I want to be like Mac. Now that I got to know him, I don't know what I was thinking. Can I get an amen? They're taping this. I won't be like my daddy. Now, he's not here today, so you feel free to gossip in a positive way. Amen? He's the hero of hope. But can I share something with you very intimately for a moment? Your hope sits in heaven right now. The hope that should be in your heart, the very hero of your heart, sits in heaven. In glory. In all of heaven's splendor that resides in your heart as a Christian. It should be. Look at with me now. I want to share something with you in verse 19 to put the emphasis on the heroism of the heart. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, the Holy of Holies, the priest, the high priest. Look at the very first part again with me so you don't miss this. With which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You know what an anchor does to a ship? It brings it to a certain area and it pulls and holds that entire ship in one location. He's the hero of your hope. Christians, don't you ever lose hope. That hope is in Jesus Christ. And if this word is true, and He is an immutable God, it means He will never change on you, even though your very life will change drastically around you in the days to come.
And believe you me, it will change. It's coming. America is looking at a reckoning. It's coming. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And I don't know who you have your allegiance with this morning, dear people. But you better find out who Jesus Christ is quick, fast, and in a hurry. And stop walking around in some false religion. Or walking to church because so-and-so brought you or encouraged you. You better find out who Jesus is. And I tell you that as bluntly and as precisely as I know how. If you are not close with him, learn. If you do not know Scripture, you better remember it. Take his word and let it be embroidered in your heart. And you will not get that by osmosis, I've tried. Take his word and put it in your heart. You may not have the luxury to tote the 10 or 12 or 28 Bibles you got. Be ready. Be prepared. Know his word. Live it. And you remember one thing. When Satan stands all around you and you feel the presence of evil and darkness, you know that the light that gives the emphasis in heaven lives within your heart. And you never lose the hope or the truth of that. Never. The hero of your heart. But let me tell you this morning, if he's not, let me tell you how he can be. And listen to me, Christian. This is for all of us. Psalms 62, verses 7 and 8, I will share with you this morning. Listen to me, young people. I know you're young and you've got everything figured out. I understand. I was like you one time too. I had it all figured out. My daddy told me just to go ahead and move on out and do everything I needed to do since I had it all figured out, right? It's a cold world out there. That's a cold, hard world out there. And I tell you right now, sometimes the best place you'd be is mom and daddy's house. I still try to go back and spend a night every now and again. Amen. You say amen to that. All right. Do what you fancy. Amen. Here we go. Hearken and answer this. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge. Trust him. Trust in him at all times. People, get real with me for a minute. How many of you have good pictures? I'm talking about this right here. Trust in him at all times. That's my decision to make things Friday, Saturday. You do good on Sunday, but I'm talking about that. And it says that pour out your heart before him. And God is the refuge. You want to know how he becomes the hero of your heart? You pour out everything else before him. You got to turn it upside down and shake it. And everything that sits in your heart, whether it be bitterness, hatefulness, bad attitude, resentment, disliking someone, let's use a better Christian word. We dislike them. Intently. You got to turn your heart up and you got to shake that. And then the hero shows up. And as long as you hold on to any aspect, whether it be this small, he's a gentleman who will not.
Because what does he do in Revelations? He stands at the door and knocks on your heart. The only door he will not open in this life is the one that hinges in your heart. But one of these days, this is how it's going to sound. That's it. You blew it. You
missed it, your opportunity is gone. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You keep messing around if you want to, your sin's going to find you out. What it tells us in Numbers. And one of these days, you're going to be anticipating someone to knock at your door because you were scheduling and planning the meeting. And he says, no, we meet on my terms, but we don't meet at all. The hero of your hope, the very thing that anchors your soul. If you don't have hope this morning, you're not anchored. And that means that the waves toss you to and fro, and you are not stable. You're not fit to face him. You're not ready. And the games will cease. The smoke will clear. And you'll be standing face to face with the very one who created you and formed you from the dust of the earth and breathe a living soul into your body. And now who's the joke on now? Because of so-and-so? Yeah, right. Because of what? You gotta be kidding me. You don't really believe that junk you're talking, do you? Give me a break, please! Depart from me, for I never knew you, ye worker of iniquity. Or you hold on to your hope and you pour your heart out, everything that's in it, and receive me today, and I'll become the sole hero of your heart. And then when my Father looks upon you, I can say, that was it. My death was not in vain on his account, or her account. But now he is the, thirdly, first he's the hero of your hope. So when you live life, you can anticipate that God is there and he's real. And that he's also not just out there, but he lives in your heart. But he's also the hero of heaven. Hope in your heart for the one who sits in heaven. Now I'm going to tell you a little something about Jesus real quick, all right? Can I share that with you? Because that's my job. To talk about Jesus, the one they've taken out of everywhere. And we say, my God, why are such things happening to you? What is happening? Why are all these gangs here that used to be over in this upper state? Can I knock on your door just for a minute and tell you, hey, what's up? We took Jesus out to school. What do you expect? Did you really think it was going to work any other way? We got exactly what we asked for. Please! And now, ladies and gentlemen, he is the hero of heaven. But he is certainly not the hero of this place that we live in called Earth. He is the hero, but he's not recognized as so. He was just a man who came, lived a good moral life, and died. But due to the Roman officials, someone took his body and hid it. Therefore, he never resurrected. So they said. His bones can be found somewhere on the same very place that you walk. He's not alive. He's a dead God. They're dead wrong. Amen? You want to know how I know he lives? I just talked. Huh? Can I say something about that? Amen? Talking. Lord,
hope and where my soul is anchored, so that I can be true and steadfast with the confirmation and the consolation that I need as a woman.
And now the Bible tells us, if you will turn with me, we're looking at Hebrews again, and look with me now at the very third chapter, or the first chapter of Hebrews. Right back at Hebrews, and we're fixing to pull all this together, so you hold on tight, all right? Look at the first chapter and look at the third verse. Well, I'm going to read the first. Can I read all three of them to you? Say amen. Praise the Lord. Here we go. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners, which are many different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, who reflects the glory of God. It is His Son. When Jesus came, He didn't just come and die for you on a cross, but He came to reveal and manifest to you what was going on in heaven. The glory of God and His love for people. And that He came to die on a cross because He loved you. And He came to teach us how to live. Not just in heaven, but how to live in this place we call, in many people's cases, hell. This is by no chance. I don't care what you're going through. This is not hell. Let there be a correction made this morning. There is a place called hell. I've never been there, and I ain't going. Amen? But there are a lot of people who are. And you know, the Bible says the majority of people who take breath in this world will spend eternity there. And few will make it to heaven. That's God saying that. Are you in that group of the few? Don't you hide behind Christianity. Don't you hide behind a membership in a church. Don't you hide behind that book, that Holy Scriptures you tote on your side. You better get the real deal and live it. I'm just a messenger. I'm a man on my best day. I'm just like you. But I know what the truth is. And the truth lies in the hero of hope and the hero of my heart and the hero of heaven. Verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Boy, that can preach on for another hour. Amen. Are you with me? Say amen. Let's go then. Look at this. And the express image of His person. God's image. His expression. I will show it to you. And I just want to say, oh my God, I love you so much. And I want everybody in here to go to heaven. I want the whole world to go to heaven. I know that's not going to happen. But you can die trying to change it. But we lose our hope. And when you look at Romans 15 and you go to verse 3 and 4 and you look at 4 and you see where we're going to keep our hope because of the Scriptures that were written before us. In order to keep and maintain your hope, you have to have patience. And you have to have comfort. And you will have patience. And you will wait on what you know is real.
We have many babies that are fixing to be born in this church. There's a lot of rooms in preparation for their coming. I'm talking about walls painted. Cribs. All that pretty stuff that hangs from the ceiling. It's there. You know why it's there? Because they got hope that they're coming.
They believe in something that ain't even here yet. Though they said, I'm going to make preparations. I'm getting ready. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be comforted because Jesus is coming. He loves me. He's immutable. He will not change. I will stand with that hope in my heart. I will have His heroism in my heart. He's the hero of everything that I am and everything that I'll do. He is Jesus, and I love Him with everything I've got. If that don't light your wood, get rid of it and get you some new kindling. Amen? Where'd my speaker go? Can you hear me? We got to get excited about Christianity. Let them know that you were washed in the blood and laid back in the water and not pickle juice. You know, people have this, you know what I'm saying? Look like you love it. Amen? And sometimes I just want to tell people, do something, even if it's wrong, do something. Let me know that there's life in you. Woo. Hey, look at this. Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory. I'm done with my message and I'm just rambling a little bit. But ain't it good sometimes? Hey, look at this. Brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things. That's you. He's upholding you. Your hope sits at the right hand of God. In heaven, where I long to be. Where I work diligently to get there. And my hope sits within arm's reach of the Father. My Creator. And He hears my cry. And I say, oh Lord, help me today. And He says, I got you. But if you live life and you're always worried, and you're always worked up, and you go into the hospital with a heart attack and it's just anxiety, you've lost your hope. Do you believe He's coming? Do you believe that He hears your prayers? Then live your life full of hope and know that He hears you and that He's there for you. He heard you the first time. And you live your life with the energy that is hope. We're so cranked up on details. Just come to God's house and look for Him and worship Him. That's what it's about. I want to get where Jesus is and just say, Lord, I adore You and I love You. And I count my blessings one by one. I'm not going to get caught up in these programs and all this stuff. I just want to see Jesus. That's it. And what happens is when you lose your hope, you start running off on all these other crazy directions. Where He said, you will maintain your hope by being patient and waiting on Me because you believe that I'm there and you believe that I'm coming. And hope has been diminished. And many Christian believers for a long time. It's what stabilizes you and anchors your soul. And we need some stability. We need to know our place and find it and dwell there and worship Him and serve Him till He calls us home. So it's too much to and fro. Up and down. You ever seen people move all around sometimes and you just get exhausted watching them? Man, be still and know that I'm God. He wants you to be still. Just sit there a minute and I'll come in My presence to fill the room and there we are. Amen. Am I the only one that's feeling this morning? This is more than just a message. It's a wake-up call. Don't you hate them in the morning time? You hear that snooze? Just don't snooze it. Because you'll lose it. Just do what's right.
You can never go wrong doing what's right. I know that sounds simple, but that'll get you through this life. Do what's right. I don't care what they did. I don't care what they said. I don't care. You just do what's right. And you can never go wrong. But the last part of this verse says, look here where it says, now get with me here in the middle. It says, word of his power when he had himself purged our sin. You know that sin you were born into this life with? Every one of us had it, even your preacher. Full, guilty of sin. Deserved nothing more than to get and die on a cross and go to hell. But one day God said, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what he did. It's out there. He'll take your place on the cross and he'll go to hell and defeat it. And tell Satan he messed up because when he thought he was crucifying the Son of God, he did nothing more than set us. And now you're free. Amen. There's nothing holding you back. You walk in the power and the strength of Christ. He's your hope. He's your heart. He's your only way to heaven. John 14:6 says, Jesus said very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care what Oprah Winfrey tells you, you cannot get to heaven unless you go through Jesus Christ. It's the blood. It ain't gory because I see some things worse on your kids' games around here. Blood's not a bad thing. It's a very common thing. It's the blood that'll set you free. He sits in heaven and he says, the last part of this verse, look at this, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. Look at that. Hey, I didn't have to go to no school to understand that. I got that part. Put your hands together for me for a minute. Just put your hands, just lay your Bible on your lap. Let me show you something. You ready? We're going to close out right here. Finally, brethren, here we go. Put them together. Push them hard. Now, with me, don't you quit. I tell you, kind of pretend like I'm Richard Simmons for a minute, all right? Rub them back and forth. Just tight. I'm doing it with you now. I'm not asking you to do something I wouldn't do. Put them together. Don't you quit. Don't you let up. Hold them together tight. Rub them. Rub them babies. Rub them. Now stop. Put your hand on your face. They're warm, aren't they? Amen? You should have been doing that all weekend when it was cold. You know what that example implies? That when you take all that you are, every substance of your being, and you go and you meet Jesus, the hero of heaven and earth, there's a warm sensation when you rub shoulders with the Son of God. And that warmth is love, and it's the light. And it's the one who sits on the right hand of his majesty. And he said, I love you so much, I'll live in your heart. And I'll love you all of your life. Are you there?
This is the time where we all pray together. Father, as we look toward this wonderful part of this service where we are able to come and kneel with you. Lord, on this day, oh Lord, you're knocking on hearts. Lord, even so heavy that we can hear you knocking. And Lord, I pray with all of my heart that this would be the day
that if we have a first-time visitor, if we have someone that's not a member, Lord, that doesn't matter. But it is that you said you cast no man out. There is no orphan to God. But Lord, we are your creation, and we have the bold privilege of being able to approach your throne of grace and being able to worship and adore and be changed because of who you are. Lord, may you help us open the door this morning. Maybe there's some areas as Christians that we just haven't opened every door. But God, we know you're not going to buy this house without inspecting every room. And Lord, I ask you today, before it's too late, that we come. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Let us come.